This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries in Stuart, Florida, welcoming you to our program again. We're honored to have you listening in on WCNO Radio to this program. We've been doing this for a lot of years, so we hope you can stay tuned in as we tell you every week. If you can't, we do offer the CDs, and we'll be glad to mail one out if you'd like to. All we ask for is a love offering, whatever God would tell you, and we'll be glad to mail it out to you. So we're honored to be here on another Saturday. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. I'm going to greet and say hello to Roscoe and Audrey Walks over on Andros Island, our sister church over there. He's feverishly working away on that building to get that thing done by the end of the year. So we keep telling you, if you'd like to help out with the finances for that building, well, just when you make out a check, write on the bottom of the check for what it's for. And we'll be glad to make sure, we'll make sure they get every single penny of it.
Amen. Temple of God, right?
The Temple of God on Andros Island, right. So a wonderful couple. We've known them for years. I love them so much. And so we're going to talk about the Day of Atonement today a little bit. We haven't come to that day yet, but we're getting real close. We're in the month of Tishri, and we're in the days of all, though, those 10 days from trumpets to the Day of Atonement. And this is the most important day on the Jewish calendar every year, is the Day of Atonement. We're going to talk about that a little bit. We only have one chapter in the entire Bible that's spent on a prophetic appointed time, and it's the Day of Atonement. God doesn't have anything else that length of time in the Bible regarding an appointed time. But Leviticus chapter 16, you might want to turn there. We're going to be over there for a little bit. It's got 34 verses in one chapter covering the Day of Atonement. So stay tuned and listen and open up your heart to receive from the Lord, and we know that you will be blessed with what you hear, not because of us, but because it's in the Word of God. Amen?
And I wanted to mention, Pastor Gene, that you are going to be sharing from the book that you wrote,
right,
about the feasts of the Lord and the God's time, mm-hmm, God's calendar, God's prophetic calendar.
Yeah.
And so we need to be on God's prophetic calendar. And so this book is available. In fact, it's going to be put into print. It's in print right now, but it's going to be put into different kinds of print in a book, and also an audio, and so people can have this. But at this point, it's not ready, but we do have the book available, so if you can just, $25, and you can learn all about all the feasts of the Lord, and about the Sabbath, and many other things, the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, and Pastor Gene has charts in there also. So it's quite an in-depth study. Amen.
Amen.
I want to give our phone number. It's area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And I want to mention that we have a Shabbat service or a Sabbath service today.
Mm-hmm.
And no, we are Christians, born again, believers, but we have a service on Saturday at 2 o'clock in the Alliance Church on Osceola Street, 455 Southeast Osceola Street, right near the hospital and the river in Stewart. So come on over and join us this afternoon at 2 p.m. and have fellowship and hear more about God's Word. Amen.
Amen. So we're honored to be here with you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay. Well, I'm going to read a couple things out of my book. This book's available to anybody who wants it for a love offering of $25 and a few dollars for shipping and handling, right?
That's right. Just said that. Praise the Lord.
We can say it again.
Say it again.
That's right. Some people don't hear what's said.
A lot of people have been blessed by this book. Amen.
That's right.
And we just get them printed and people buy them and we have to keep printing them. So it's been a lot of places and a lot of people are taking this book and teaching it. Because it's not according to any particular denomination. No, it's according to the Word of God. And everything has, what, two or three scriptures, right, Pastor
That's
James?
That's right. At least two.
Amen. So I want to mention, we just come through
trumpets.
And here's the trumpet. I got a picture of a trumpet right here.
Right. That's a real shofar. It's a ram's horn.
It's a ram's horn. And you see how it's twisted if you're looking on Facebook. We're also on Facebook, so you can check us out anytime, no matter where we're at. We can talk to you by way of Facebook. So this is blown at Rosh Hashanah, and this was blown many, many times just this past Rosh Hashanah in Israel and many places here in the United States as well.
That's right.
And other places in the world.
Amen.
Because, you know, there's Jews everywhere, over the world.
All over the world.
Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Pastor Let's take
Gene.
A look at this. Let's talk about the Day of Atonement a little bit here. I'm going to read some things out of my book here, and we're going to go to Leviticus chapter 16, and we'll look at some things over there prophetically. Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, is considered the holiest day in the Jewish year. In the days of Yeshua in the temple, there is an elaborate ritual involving two goats, one to be slain and one to be led off into the wilderness, symbolically bearing away the people's sins. And you can read that mainly in Leviticus 16.
We'll have to speak up a little bit, Pastor Gene. People are telling me they can't hear.
The blood of the slain lamb, or the goat, I should say, was carried by the high priest into the Holy of Holies. There this blood was sprinkled on and before the mercy seat of God. This was the only day of the year that the inner portion of the temple could be entered, and only by the high priest. At this time, he came face to face, it says, with God on behalf of Israel. On this day, God grants or denies atonement for the coming year, Tishri 10. Romans 3:25, even the word propitiation means a sacrifice of atonement. So here we are talking about this particular day known as the Day of Atonement. So before we venture in too deep on this, I want to talk about some things and read a few scriptures with you in Leviticus chapter 16. So if you're at home, you got your Bible, open up to it, and I'm going to read verses to start with, verse 30 and 31. Okay?
Amen.
So verse 30 says, "For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls by a statute forever." And then we look at, you can read the, I'm just going to give the scriptures on the rest of it. You can look at Leviticus 23, verses 27 through 32, talks about the Day of Atonement. Numbers 29:7 also relates to that as well, which establishes God's purpose and direction for this appointed time. Now that we have read God's Word regarding this day, we are now prepared to investigate the important attributes of Yom Kippur. I like this. Six names and themes and idioms reveal the significance of this day. One thing that caught my heart this morning was, if you're reading the book of Revelation, on the Day of Atonement, there was 30 minutes of silence in heaven. And I heard somebody make a comment one time, says all the women must have got quiet for some reason. That's not what it's about. The high priest had to lay prostrate before the veil for that time, before he went in, to make sure in his heart that he did everything according to God's order, because if he went behind that veil and he didn't, he would drop dead in there. And so this is what that's all about, the sincerity with this. But let's look at some of these themes and idioms that we have here. The first of all, Yom Kippur means what? The Day of Atonement. Second, it is called face to face. You can read that over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Third, it's called the Day of the Great Day, or the Great Day. Fourth, it is called the Fast, because God required everybody to fast on that day, didn't they, Pastor Don? They couldn't eat or drink, or they can't even brush their teeth on that day. Fifth, it is the Day of the Blowing of the Great Shofar. We talk about it a lot. Shofar what? Ha-ha-ha-gadol. And the sixth, it is called the Closing of the Gates. Okay? So we got those things to think about, all these idioms that God put in place for us to understand all about this day called the Day of Atonement. Now remember, we want to keep this in mind, that the Passover lamb that was shed in Exodus, we read about, was for individual salvation. The people that did not, hear this, that did not put the blood on the doorpost and lintel of their house and didn't stay in there, when God came through, they were wiped out. They were destroyed. But if they obeyed God's word and stayed in the house, what happened? They were covered by the blood. So we have to keep all this in mind as we think about this. So that was an individual thing. Now, when we think about the Day of Atonement, this is something for the entire nation. Did you notice, we're going to find out as we read this, they didn't sacrifice lambs, they were goats. So it's something that God's showing us here about the world at large. So let's read a little bit of this, and we'll take a look at this, and we'll talk about this as we go. Because there's so much. I should have put two lessons on this when I did the book, but I only made it one. It's a long lesson. All right, let's do this. Where do I want to start at here? Chapter 16, I'm going to look at verse 2 with you. It says this, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Speak unto Aaron, thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, and that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat." So he will appear when they do things the right way, and that's what he told them. Now, verse 3, I went beyond that, didn't I? Sorry about that. I want to go down to verse 5. "And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats." You notice it's goats, not lambs, "for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house." Here's the high priest, even's a sinner. He had to sacrifice for himself as well, because we've all sinned and missed the glory of God. Verse 7, "And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat." It's called Hazazel.
Now that scapegoat represents
Yeshua. Both of them really do.
Right.
In verse 9, "And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness." Here's a picture of our sins covered by the blood, and it goes out as far as the east is in the west, and it'll never be remembered again. Verse 11, "And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle the blood with his finger." Seven times he did this. "Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with the blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat before the mercy seat." So the blood was important, huh? "And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions and all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness." Now, verse 17, "And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place, until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. So his position was very important for the high priest to do everything according to God's order and exactly the way he had it done. And he shall go out, verse 18, and he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with the finger seven times and cleanse it and hollow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. Something such a tradition with the Jews has been for many, many years. They would take and tie a scarlet ribbon on that goat that's going to be released in the wilderness on one of the horns, and they also put it on one of the doors in the temple. And when that animal was killed in the wilderness, those scarlet ribbons all turned white. Where did that come from? That came from Isaiah chapter 1, talking about how our sins become white as snow. So that's a tradition, and the Jews believed that. That was done for years. Verse 19, and he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with the finger. How many times? Seven times, God's number of completeness, and cleanse it and hollow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. Now, verse 20, and when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat and Aaron. This is an important verse right now prophetically. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, all their transgressions, and in all their sins. All three sins are mentioned. They're all different. Putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. Who do you think that fit man was? This is prophetically talking about John the Baptist. And this is what he did. It tells you exactly what he laid hands on that goat. Okay? So it covered all the sins. You know, just the sins, the transgressions, and the iniquities. All three of them with the different definitions that they have. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities into a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation and shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place and shall leave them there. You know, people think he only went in one time. There was one day he went in. If you look at the scriptures, he probably went at least three or four times, changed his clothes, and he had what? Put on new garments. Verse 24, and he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place and put on his garments and come forth and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people and make an atonement for himself and for the people. See, it's for the entire nation. It's not for just one person. It's for everyone. So you think about that. Israel sat around on that day when the high priest had laid out for 30 minutes before he went behind the veil. And it was a hush must have came over the land.
Because he could have died.
So there was a hush.
Because he was going into the most holy
place. That's right.
The Holy
so
of Holies.
When he went in there and then came back out again, well, they knew that God had accepted them for another year. The blood covering was taken care of by those goats that God.
And it was a supernatural thing. They really don't know how he got behind there.
Nope.
And we need to talk about the Mount of Days, because we've just come through Rosh Hashanah.
That's right.
The trumpets, blowing of the trumpets. And so this is coming up very soon. It's 10 days, right?
That,
the Day of Atonement. And then we have the Feast of Tabernacles.
Right.
And that will last for?
Actually, 8 days counting.
8 days.
Simchat Torah.
And the last day is called?
Simchat Torah. Rejoicing in the Torah.
Which means rejoicing in the Torah. And we know who the Torah is. The Torah is Yeshua, Jesus Christ, amen, our Lord and Savior. So these 10 days, the gates are still open, right?
Yeah.
So why don't you talk about what this signifies, that they're still in the time of Teshuvah,
right?
Which is repentance. That's 40 days altogether.
Out to the Day of Atonement.
One month, and then
30 days.
Then part of Tishrei.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still in that time, and so it's still a time of crying out in repentance, right? Because their salvation is going to be sealed. We're talking about the Jewish people.
The last day of Jacob's trouble, on the Day of Atonement, their fate will be sealed for eternity.
And so they'll be able to be blessed to go into the kingdom.
That's right.
But so right now we're coming up upon that Day of Atonement, just a few days away. And so we're talking about three different feasts that last over how many days, Pastor Gene? 22 days, is it?
From beginning to end, yeah.
And then we will be going into, we need to talk a little bit about tabernacles and what's going to happen there, because that's a very important time. That's a joyful time.
We're going to go into eternity in the kingdom of God, aren't we, huh?
Picture of the kingdom of God.
That's what it's all about.
Amen.
It lasts for those 7 days. And we have an appointed time at the beginning of the year. You know, unleavened bread lasts for what, 7 days? Tabernacles, we have another period of 7 days as well. The beginning and the end, it's all there.
So they both last for 7 days.
7 days.
And Yeshua has fulfilled the first
four,
which come in the spring.
Right.
And now he's going to fulfill the last three, and it'll all happen within 22 days. So people still in Israel now, and people that are really serious about the Lord are thinking about this time.
Right.
Because, you know, God has seasons and times for these prophetic events to happen. And they happen every year on a certain time, just like the blowing of the shofars. That's always on the very first day, the new moon, first day of Tishri.
So they rehearse this year after year, don't they? One year is going to be the real thing.
They rehearse the Passover, too.
That's right.
Year after year after year.
For 1,500 years.
But many people didn't receive Yeshua. Many Jewish people didn't receive Yeshua when he came to teach, to bring salvation to them. But many did, because they were the first ones who preached the gospel. This whole Bible is all written by Jewish people, isn't it?
Yep. So the next place I want to go in this chapter 16, Leviticus, is verse 29. Now, if someone just picked up a Bible and read this, it says, and this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the 10th day of the month. Now, that's not July the 10th, by the way, if you people are listening. It's on the Jewish prophetic calendar. So what's the seventh month on the Jewish calendar? It's the month of Tishri. We have a chart in my book that shows all how those months fall together and compare it with our calendar. So in the seventh month, which is the month of Tishri, on the 10th day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls. They were not to work. They were not to do anything. And do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a what? A Sabbath of rest unto you, and you shall afflict your souls by statute. Now listen to this. It says for what? Forever. So when we get in the kingdom, we're going to be doing the same thing. So why don't we find more about this right now? Don't you want to be in tune right now what God's going to do? I like to know what's going to happen. And look what verse 32 says. And the priest whom he shall appoint, or anoint, I should say, but he is appointed, and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead, shall make an atonement and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. It says a prophetic picture also of Yeshua. Verse 33, and he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary. And he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation and for the altar. And he shall make an atonement for the priest and for all the people of the congregation. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins. What's it say? Once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. Isn't that amazing? So that's the basic part. Now that's the only chapter I mentioned of any appointed time. We have a whole chapter written about the Day of Atonement. No other point in time has a whole chapter. So it must be pretty important, huh? So now what do the Jews do today?
You know, I put a note down here. I have to go look at it.
What?
In my Bible, it says Day of Atonement, and I have John 14:6.
Okay, go look at it.
I'll have to look at that while you're, okay. I'll go there while you're okay. While you're talking.
Another interesting thing is, what do the Jews do today? How do they handle the loss of the temple? They can't sacrifice an animal on the Day of Atonement. So what do? Well, they have a works-related gospel, you could call it. And in fact, this shock and dismay brought a depth of loss, which was revealed in the words of a second-century rabbi, where he said, now that we have no prophet or priest or sacrifice, who shall atone for our sins? The only thing left to us is to what? Is prayer. The Jewish leaders at this time also made another decision which was contrary to God's word, saying this, prayer would be a natural substitute for the sacrificial offerings. And the answer to that is no, it cannot be. Subsequently, the rabbis added two more keys to their atonement and salvation essential to winning God's mercies on Yom Kippur. A rabbi in the second century by the name of Eliezer said, three elements avert a harsh decree from God. They are prayer, charity, and penitence. This works-centered justification system is certainly in direct contradiction to the Jews' own commentary, the Talmud, where it states there is no atonement except how? With blood. Excuse me. So God gave him all the details of how to do this. And there's no substitute. No substitute whatsoever. And they want to approach it their own way. And since the loss of the temple and the opportunity to offer a proper sacrifice to God, we see this in Romans 10:3. I'm going to read that in a moment with you. Or follow the other path, the correct one, by asking themselves this question. If God has allowed the destruction of our place of worship and sacrifice, has he perhaps already provided the promised sacrifice of Isaiah 53? And the answer is what? Yes, he has. He has. History and the rabbinical teachings demonstrates a choice to refuse God's plan was offered Yeshua as fulfilling the need for the shedding of the innocent blood. Instead, they invented their own work system of approaching God. Let's go look at that. Go to Romans 10 with me. We'll get in the New Testament here for a few minutes.
Amen.
Romans 10. And while you're turning there, get these. My fingers are cold. It's just my Bible. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Romans 10. Would you like for me to start to read?
Yeah, I want you to read. We'll go back and read this other part. Read Romans 10.
Thank you, Lord.
1-4.
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So we're talking about Israel, and that
That's
Day of
right.
Atonement is for Israel too, mm-hmm. isn't it? For the nation, not just for... but for the whole world, but for the nation of Israel. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness,
there you go,
have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. I'll say they should have known all this when Jesus came, because they knew the word.
It's been in there all those years.
Been there all these years. Mm-hmm. Have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Thank you, Father. To everyone that believeth. And I was going to look at
this. So you think about that. For instance, Christ is the end, or the aim is what it's telling you, of the Torah for righteousness to everyone they believe it. It's a schoolmaster to bring us to the Messiah.
Amen. It says it also in Romans chapter 8, verse 4, that the righteousness of the law, or this is the Torah, might be fulfilled in us.
That's right.
How can the Torah be fulfilled in us? Well, when we become born again, the Word of God should be written on our hearts.
Amen.
When we start to read the Word of God, will these things, because it also says that, you know, the Holy Spirit will bring these things to our remembrance.
That's right.
It says here that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the one who's to lead us into all truth and righteousness.
And you just read over there in Romans chapter 10, verse 3, what we just were talking about. For they, being ignorant of God's what? His righteousness and how to receive it through the Messiah, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Isn't that a shame? But that's true.
And what verse 6 says over there in chapter 8, it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace.
That's right.
Life and peace.
And we always talk about the love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If we look at this real close, verse 12, at the end of that teaching there. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then what? Face to face. This is alluding to the Day of Atonement. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Amen?
Amen. And Paul also said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart.
In thy heart.
So it's in your heart, so it's in your mouth as well. Mm-hmm. What is that? The word of faith.
The word of faith.
Because we believe by faith. Without faith,
it's impossible to please God.
To please God.
That's right.
Amen. And I want to see if you had a listening here and you haven't ever asked Jesus to come into your heart.
Good time today.
It's a good time today to do that and seek the Lord while he may be found. Amen.
We found out years after we got saved, before we got interested in the Jewish things, that our salvation came on the Day of Atonement. And what a day, huh? Amen.
And we didn't even know it.
Didn't even know it. That's right.
Until we look back on a Jewish calendar. Mm-hmm. But it says also here that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen?
That's right.
For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him, who's that? Jesus, Yeshua, mm-hmm. shall not be ashamed.
That's right.
And whoever calls upon his name shall be saved, whether they be Jew or Greek.
That's right.
Gentile or Jew.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
So we got...
Because what it says over there in John 14:6, which I was going to read, Jesus said, I am the way,
the truth and the life. Huh?
The truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the only way to the Father is
through
by
the
Jesus,
Messiah.
By Yeshua.
And I can show you in my book, but you need to get the book for yourself. But you see all through here, I believe with all my heart, shows that the Day of Atonement will be the day that Yeshua will make his second advent. Not coming. Coming will be in the sky to catch the dead in Christ away and the resurrection out from among the dead. But
the second advent will come 7 years after the tribulation.
That's right.
At the very end.
On the Day of Atonement. Salvation for the nation of Israel. The ones that will come.
That's when he will put his feet on the ground. Amen.
On the Mount of Olives. It says in Acts 1. That's right.
And it's going to be a great war.
Yep.
It's going to be a great war there. And won't we be with him?
Yeah.
On those white horses.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Flames of fire. I think about those horses, about fire. Because it talked about how the chariot of fire, you know, and the back in the Old Testament about Elijah and all that.
Uh-huh.
So all those horses and all those saints will be coming back with him. And it's not going to be for salvation. It's going to be to judge.
That's right.
The nations that have come against his people.
You got it.
Amen. So that's going to happen 7 years after
the catching away and the resurrection.
Catching away is that Rosh Hashanah.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that he will come in the sky.
That's right.
We will meet him in the sky, dead and those who are alive as well. So now the next thing that would come up this month would be Feast of Tabernacles. You have some time to talk about the Feast of Tabernacles.
Well, it consists of 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a high Sabbath on the first day and the seventh day. And in the eighth day, was called a Simchat Torah, which means rejoicing in the Torah. So who's the Torah? It's Yeshua. So it's a conclusion of everything. What do they do in the fall? That's when they gather in all the wheat, all the fruit, all the things that have been growing during the year. So it's a picture of people coming in by the thousands into the kingdom of God.
Amen. Praise God.
That's what Tabernacles represents, the establishment of the kingdom of God.
So the picture that they portray that with is on people's balconies or people's backyards or their mm-hmm. porches, and wherever they can find a place, they will build a small tabernacle.
That's right.
And it's built out of branches, and they hang fruit from it, put maybe a little mat down. They go in there and they sit, maybe a chair in there. They go in there and they spend that time meditating or spending time with the Lord. And so 7 days is a picture of the kingdom. And, you know, they eat in there. It's the time, it's the most joyful time. It's the, won't it be the most joyful time when we see Jesus, when we're, when we come through those pearly gates, when we walk into heaven, won't that be the most awesome, joyful time? We can't even begin to imagine how awesome it is in heaven, how awesome heaven is, you know? Nothing here on this earth can compare. Nothing, not a thing. So those days they spend that time, and the roof is open, so they can, they put maybe branches across there, but it's open so that they can see the stars. You know, they can see the stars in heaven, and they know that there's a God. They know that there is a God, and there is a kingdom, and he has planned a kingdom for those who love him, those who believe in him. He's a father. He wants to be a father to all, but not everyone's going to receive him.
That's right. Makes it obvious. Sure does.
Hallelujah.
I'd like to do something else here, because we're talking about tabernacles a little bit. In my book on page 56, if you got it, under number 7 is an interesting thought here. It says, in closing this session, I would like to mention another aspect of Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. The year of Jubilee was on what? The Day of Atonement. This was a year and day of liberty. Yeshua came to preach this liberty at his very first advent. You can read that in Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. We read that all the time. And Luke 4. From Adam, it has been almost 6,000 years and 120 jubilees divided, is 120 jubilees, which would be 6,000 years, divided by 50 equals what? 120 years. The number 120 points to the end of the age of the flesh and the reign of the life of the Spirit, as it says in Genesis 6:3. God's not going to struggle with us, but how long? For 120 years. The ultimate fulfillment of the year of Jubilee will take place at the second advent of the Messiah, when he literally comes back to the earth. The earth will be redeemed and come into full and complete rest from the curse brought upon by Adam's sin. In addition, the complete restoration of man's lost inheritance will take place. God's people will be totally set free, set at liberty from all sin, sickness, disease, death, and a curse. And I'll accept that right now.
Amen.
Satan, Hasatan, the source of all these things, will be bound, and true rest will be realized. The tabernacle of God will be with men and women, and he will dwell with them, as it says in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. So the year of Jubilee and the Day of Atonement speak of the fullness of the redemptive plan of God for man. And of course, tabernacles is the beginning of the kingdom. Okay? That's the beginning of the kingdom.
That's so right. Well, you know, Pastor Gene, I'm thinking here in Romans chapter 11 about the Jewish people, because there's a lot of people that are coming against the Jewish people and the nation of Israel, and there are people that want to destroy them.
That's right.
And they have all down through time, ever since in Bible days, you know, people were coming against the Jewish people. But I mean, God has a call, and it's going to be fulfilled. Everything that he says, you know, Israel has been restored. Look what's happening. Look how they are. It says here in verse 1, it says, I say then, hath God cast away his people?
No. He said, God forbid, didn't he?
We're talking about the Jewish people.
That's right.
Now, of course, we're his people as well. God said, God forbid, it says, for I also am an Israelite. So that shows us he's talking about Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And of the seed of Abraham and of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. We're talking about the Jewish people. God hasn't tossed them. He scattered them. He scattered them throughout the world, but he hasn't cast them off, because he is drawing them and bringing them back. Amen. What the scripture saith of where am I at? Of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed the prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. Well, he wasn't left alone.
Nope.
There were many others.
That's right.
But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal.
Baal, that's right.
Mm-hmm. So God always has a people.
That's right.
He always has a people.
That's right.
And he always has a remnant of people that are sold out to him and to his word.
In fact, that chapter 11 where you're at, verse 23 says, "For I would not, brethren," he's talking to believers, "that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit." What's that? About the Jew and the Gentile. That the blindness in part, you notice it didn't say totally, in part, has happened to Israel until what? The fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. This is Yom Kippur we're talking about, the end of Jacob's trouble. As it is written, "There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, which I shall take away their sins. And as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as teaching," or touching, I should say, "the election, which are the Jews, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without what? Repentance." God has not changed his mind, has he?
He has not turned away.
No. He's not.
And the Jewish people have a zeal for God.
Right.
And this is one of the reasons that we've been on this program for how many years, Pastor?
22 Gene? Plus years.
22 years. That's interesting. That's how many letters are in the Hebrew alphabet.
Yeah.
Complete Hebrew alphabet. The first letter is the
Aleph.
Aleph. And the last letter is
the Tav.
Tav. And that means, and the two of them together, the Tav is represented by a cross. So to bring the Jews to the Lord, if they just saw that in their alphabet, they would see right there the cross, because they know what those letters stand for, and they know what the numbers of each one of them stands for as well. So, you know, dig into your Jewish roots and find out a little bit about even the Hebrew alphabet, because it can tell you so many things about God. It actually tells a whole story about God and about Yeshua. So, you know, God is not... He is not turned away from them. And those who are, you know, the nations who are, they're going to be judged and punished. And that's why we've been on this radio station for 22 years plus, because we want to bring
the truth.
The truth. It's called raising the standard. We want to raise the standard and bring the truth of the gospel, to you. And we know that many others are. Bill Cloud and other people are as well. You know, Perry Stone, many of them are now bringing the same truths that we've been bringing on this radio program, WCNO, for all these years. So we really do, that's our heart. Our heart's desire is to tell the truth, to bring the truth, and to teach out of the King James Bible. Of course, you know, not everybody agrees with everybody, but you know, if you love God, then you see those things that are truth, and it bears witness to with your spirit, doesn't it, Pastor Gene?
That's right. Absolutely. So we're down to about 15 minutes left on our program here. We need to make an announcement here today, and I'm trying to think of how to do it the right way for all of you listeners that's been with us all these years. But you know, Don and I had health problems, and it's still going on.
Serious health problems.
Serious things in mine with my heart, and going to be making a trip, it looks like, to Jacksonville to the Baptist Hospital up there to see if someone up there thinks I'm qualified to have a microclip put in.
Microclip.
Because my blood in my heart is not going forward like it should. Some of it's backing up, and it's causing all this weakness in my body. So our physical condition is causing us to get to a place where we just can't handle this, and I'm going to let Donna tell you the rest of it. Today's going to be our last program. We're going to lay it down, and Donna's going to tell you there'll be a way to get in touch with us, but we won't be on the air anymore after today. And
Unless God does something supernatural.
He could heal me in a moment of time, but he hasn't done that yet, and I've been asking him for almost 2 years. It'll be 2 years in January since I had open heart surgery, and things just haven't gone well, just one thing after another. And, of course, my wife's not feeling the greatest either. So, you know, your body can only do so much. And then what do we have to do? We have to let it rest. And we've been pushing and pushing and pushing, and it's been very difficult. And I feel like it makes me get weaker because I'm trying so much harder to push on and continue to do the things that we used to do. You know, I'm not 35 anymore. You know, I'm going to be 80 in January. So I can't do the same things that I did when I was 40 even. So you have to yield to that. There's a time when things happen, and we have to just, we don't know why, but it does. We live in a fallen world. We don't know. And it says it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. And so we just have to trust the Lord. He could heal me before we get off this program right now. He could heal us. And we could go on. We could cancel all this.
The Bible says we're healed in
Jesus'
name.
But we've been doing this program for 22 plus years, and it's been a real pleasure and an honor to be with you every Saturday all those years. We've never missed one time. It's always rain or snow or sleet or hail. Somebody will be here. We had a few people stand in for us while I was in the hospital, but couldn't wait till I got back out and was able to do it again. But we've come to that point now, and we're asking you to continue to pray for us and to lift us up, and all the people that we've touched over the years, if they will realize what's going on with us. Most of them don't realize how bad we are, but it's tough, I'm telling you. So,
Donna? Anyways, we do thank you, and we thank you for your support, your prayers, and I know that you'll miss us, and we're going to miss you because we enjoyed the phone calls and hearing from you, and those of you who have purchased Pastor Gene's commentary on the Feast of the Lord. And I know many are out there that are hungry about wanting to know more about their Jewish roots. I mean, people call us from different places, the West Coast, up north. Different people call us from different places. It's not just here in Stuart, Florida, or on this Treasure Coast, because many people are hungry for the truth. And we do thank the Lord that it breaks our heart to have to leave. But, you know, we've been faithful. We've tried and we've pushed on. Even getting here today, it's been a struggle for him and for me as well, because we both have different issues that we're dealing with, and it's not easy when you're both having troubles. You know, our wonderful daughter's going to come and pick us up, and not today, but
sometime this month.
He's to be in the Baptist Hospital on the 23rd of this month. He has a doctor's appointment. So
in Jacksonville
at the Baptist Hospital. So we're praying that there'll be an answer. Of course, we know that God has the answer, but at this point right now, he's limited to how far he can walk, what he can do. Blood pressure drops very low, and sometimes it goes very high. And he's a miracle right now sitting here.
Those
of you who can see him on Facebook can see the distraught look on his face, because he doesn't want to lay this down. But you know what I could say also is, those who listen to us on Facebook, or if you don't listen to us on Facebook, we can continue to do a program on through Facebook, and in my daughter's home, or in our home, or anywhere we can sit down with our telephone, just like many, many other people do it. I mean, I've seen Benny Hinn and Bill Cloud and many other people just do a teaching, and a 15-minute teaching.
Sitting at a desk at home.
At a desk at home or a kitchen table. So if you want to join me on Facebook, you can join us at it's Gene, G-E-N-E, dash, keep the letters all together, and then Donna, D-O-N-N-A, then space, our last name, Healton, H-E-A-L-T-O-N. You can join us, and perhaps if you want to continue to hear some of the teachings that Pastor Gene does, then we pray that we can do that. Amen. So please continue to keep us in prayer. We do have Shabbat today at the church. We have service today at 2 p.m. And so if you'd like to come and join us for our Sabbath service. And yes, we are born-again Christians. We don't just... We're not Seventh-day Adventists. Not that I'm coming against Seventh-day Adventists, but some people ask us that. But no, we just honor the Sabbath, because the Bible says to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy.
Right.
And when did that happen? That's in the Ten Commandments. So the Sabbath was honored even before the law. It was honored even before that, even way back in when God rested on the seventh day, didn't he? Did all his work, and he rested on the seventh day. So that seventh day is very important. Prophetically, seven, and we talked about in Passover, 7 days, Feast of Tabernacles, 7 days. And I think that even in December, isn't that 7 days also?
What's that?
When we
talk about Hanukkah?
Yeah.
Yeah, the rededication, yeah.
That was when they rededicated the temple.
Yeah.
And that's even in Pastor Gene's book about what's going to happen at that time. Things are going to happen during all these prophetic times and seasons that God has in his Bible. So we just need to dig them out and hunt them. And so I would suggest that you listen to people like Bill Cloud and other, even Jewish people. You know, there's so many of them.
And
how about Jonathan Kahn?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. Listen to him as well. You know, not everyone teaches the same thing, but you're going to get some truth from each one of those that are born again, spirit-filled, and that love Israel. Love Israel. Don't listen to somebody who says that God is finished with Israel, because that's not true. That's a lie. God is not finished with Israel. Israel is our time clock. We need to look at Israel. And my husband loves the Jewish people, and he loves Israel. He loves Israel so much. And he's only been there twice. But, you know, if you ever get a chance to go, you will fall in love with Israel as well. Now, I'm not saying they're perfect. There's a lot of things wrong in Israel. They have abortion. They have a lot of terrible things that happen in Tel Aviv. They have all the perversion and the sexual things. There's so many places that need to be touched and changed. And so we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. God commands us to pray. We're commanded to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for the Jewish people, because God is calling them home. He wants them to come home. And it's the time of gathering. It's the time of gathering in the church. It's the time for believers to gather and to work together for the Lord and for the cross of Jesus Christ. Because a lot of people are against the cross. They come against the cross of Christ. They don't even have a cross in their churches because it offends people. Well, be offended, because Jesus died on that cross. He gave his life for you and for me on that cross. So we should not be offended of the cross. And we all have been given a cross. And so we have to carry that cross that we've been given. And we can fulfill the call that God has upon our life. And I'm going to let Pastor Gene say something here, because he might still have something to say. We still have 6 minutes, praise the Lord.
I don't have much to say. I just want you to know that.
And we love the church that we're building on Andros Island.
That we love all of you very much.
Yes. And we want to
see that. It's a labor of love.
We want to see that church finished and up and the roof on. And so the roof is going on now. But if you'd like to send any funds towards anything, I would ask you to send funds for the Temple of God on Andros Island. Roscoe and Audrey Walks, they're the prophet and apostle over there, and building that church called the Temple of God, a holy place where they're speaking truth and teaching about the Jewish roots as well. Amen.
That's right.
Go ahead, Pastor Gene.
I just wanted to tell you all how much I love you. It's been a good run, and just because we're laying this down doesn't mean things are going to end. In fact, we got a prophetic word one time from our oversight with Christian International Ministries, with a well-known prophet with CI, and he mentioned some things about myself, and I thought, well, gee, if I lived that long, I'd be dead and gone. He says, the things you're going to say, do, and write will be a legacy that will be carried on even after you're gone, but it'll be brought up again in the kingdom. So the things we're doing now are for the kingdom of God. And remember, when you go to heaven, you're not going to be a hobo up there for 7 years. You're going to have things. You're going to be taught, trained, and activated to do things that God wants you to do in the kingdom. So we're all going to be called and being prepared for what we're going to do in the kingdom. If we're not doing anything now, we're not going to do anything there hardly at all either. So God wants you to know that, that your call is important. And if you'll just do what God tells you to do, then everything's going to be okay in your life. With the ministry, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about ministry.
You know, everybody who's born again and knows Jesus, they're a minister. And that was one of the first things that we learned when we first got born again, because we got right involved with ministry.
Yeah.
And the youth pastor said, point to yourself, put your finger on your chest and say, I'm a minister of God. I'm a minister of the Bible, a minister of the truth. So every person you share with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a minister. You don't have to be behind a pulpit. You don't have to be on a radio station. Just be who you are, and wherever you are, God will send people across your
path. Speak the word.
That you can share the gospel with. And God knows The rewards come from the Father. And so nobody has to know what they are, what you've done or what you haven't done. But God knows everything that we've done. And so the things that we've done for him are going to count for the kingdom of God. Amen.
I'd like to read a scripture here also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 with me, if you'll go over there before we close here.
While you're going there, I'm going to give the phone number. It's area code 772-285-7007. That's 285-7007. And I want to remind you that we will have a service this afternoon to worship God. Well, God told us that. That's the name of the church, Spirit of Prophecy. And it comes from Revelation 19:10, which says, worship God. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit of Prophecy.
The verse I want to read is in 1 Corinthians 15, the very last verse, which is verse 58. We need to hang on to this. It says, therefore, my beloved, he's talking to believers, brethren, be ye what? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So whatever we do for the Lord, it's not a waste of time, is it?
No.
We'll get a reward for it.
Some things we've done will be burnt up, right? Some things we've done in the flesh, but there'll be things that we've done according to what God says.
That's right.
And we will get a reward for that. Amen. Every soul that's listened to this and maybe that's prayed the prayer on the radio station or you've led somebody in the prayer of salvation.
Right. We've done it with a lot of people.
Just
over
go over to where I talked about over there in Romans, you know, if you confess with your mouth, amen, believe in your heart
that Jesus died and rose from the grave for you,
you will be saved.
You'll be saved. That's all it takes, it says. That's right.
And then the work starts, amen, and then the things start that God has called us all to do.
Yes.
Well, we're almost finished. I just want to say bless you all, and hopefully maybe some of you will keep in touch, keep in contact, and you can join me on Facebook, and we'll put some teachings on there, and you can see what's going on in our life, and you can let us know how you are doing as well.
That's right.
So we would say what? What do we say, honey?
We tell you to
look up.
Look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. And we also say Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat
peace
Shalom.
Peace on the Sabbath.
And Pastor,
I'm going to blow my shofar here on this program. We're down to about 30 seconds here. There's a blast. Hallelujah. On the shofar Hagadol. Here we go.
There you go.
I got it.
So you need to pray for his lungs as well. Praise God. Amen. Love you all. God bless. To say Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of Prophecy.
Hello friends, this is Jonathan McLean, General Manager of WCNO. I pray you are encouraged and strengthened in your faith as you listen to the great Bible teaching and Christ-centered music on your local Christian radio station. Tom Creighton is enjoying his retirement in Georgia, and I have been wonderfully busy getting acquainted with you, our great family of listeners at WCNO. God's blessings and your faithful giving have kept this ministry strong and growing for over 29 years. Once again, at this time of prayer and share, beginning October the 21st, would you specifically pray with us for God's miraculous provision and abundant blessing? Would you please look for my letter and donation envelope and return it promptly with your most generous commitment? By the grace of God, we will continue together to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you again for your prayers and investment into the kingdom of God at this great Christian radio ministry, WCNO. God bless.